This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJ S on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Ready for the sun.
Really?
This has been nice. It's cozy.
Yeah, I like it.
I love
gloomy.
It.
I like do
it.
You?
I do. I'm really eating it up today. I think scarf and a jacket and a sweater.
Yeah, see, you can lean into it. Like, through style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I could, but I'm not gonna.
It's the easiest way to look elegant is just to layer up.
Yeah.
I love scarves. I love the old John Moselock. I'm a fan.
You like that?
Yeah. I'm into it.
The scarf. Yeah.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah. People are like, oh, you're wearing a scarf. They're awesome.
Hmm. Is that what people say to you? Oh, you wear a scarf.
You're a scarf. No. But people do say that.
He's anticipating persecution.
No, people do.
It's a very sports bro thing to do, to make fun of dudes wearing scarves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went through a real Lenny Kravitz stage a few years ago. Rach remembers it fondly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
Like big slothy hats and scarves, I was real skinny and skinny jeans, and like I was really leaning into it.
Nice.
I showed up at Ruth's Chris to have dinner with two of my doctor buddies, and they could not stop laughing at me. I mean, like, it's one thing to laugh. They couldn't stop. Yeah.
So then that was the last time you wore it?
No. I was as dedicated to that look as any look I've ever been.
Yeah. You were just like, they don't get it.
I went down hard with the show. Yeah, you guys, you're just old. You don't get it. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You're not a rocker like me.
Yeah.
I see pictures of that era, and I'm just like, Ooh. That happened.
Yeah. That big floppy hat. There was a time where I entertained, you know, maybe I should get one of those.
Like the Gilligan hat? Like the bucket hat?
No. The one you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. The big slouch hat.
The slouchy beanie thing. Yeah.
I feel like every millennial, for 1 year at least, in their teen years, had a bucket hat year. I had a bucket hat year.
I've never had a bucket hat.
Oh, bucket hats are great.
I want to do my bucket hat year now.
Yeah.
Like, I should start it up now.
Yeah. They're great, dude.
They are in.
Shane Gillis has a great bit about wearing the bucket hat.
It's great.
Yeah, you got. I can't tell you. Go back and find it.
Yeah.
But being
it's
in
really
Australia
good.
And being made fun of by an Australian goth.
I have a bit of a crush on someone who's known for wearing a bucket hat.
Oh.
I just saw her interviewed.
Who is it?
Ray Gunn.
Ray Gunn.
No.
She's
on,
really cute. And so misunderstood.
Is she?
Yes.
My perception of her is that she's been a little, you know...
sensitive?
Yeah, kind of sensitive.
Tell my girl is.
Yeah. And defiant about her performance, trying to tell people, no, it was actually good.
That's how talent goes.
Yeah, you guys just don't understand.
You don't get it.
Yeah, you don't get it.
You don't get it.
You don't understand the gun.
I love Ray Gunn.
Oh my God. By the way, have you seen the NFL players doing the touchdown celebrations?
Ray Gunn?
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Was it a Lions player that did that?
No, he did the standing on the head thing. There was another. I forget who it was, but it was great.
I like that.
I met a new hospice patient this morning. She's listening now. Her name's Shirley. Everyone say hi to Shirley.
Hey, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
And she's so cool and she's so sweet. And she was asking me all about myself, and I was telling her, and she's like, oh, you do a radio show. Oh, she's like, when is that on? I said, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. She said, it's 4 hours. What kind of music do you play? I'm like, oh, no music, just talk. And she's like, 4 hours of talk? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, that sounds really hard to fill. And I'm like, it is. Like,
Shirley,
I started
getting me.
Yeah, I started getting really nervous. I'm like, I don't want to do the show today.
That's funny.
That's a lot. when you guys go home, like when I go home, I have this. And what I do is I will rip this page off and I will take down the stuff I didn't get to today that might be worth tomorrow. But it's basically a blank page. Do you guys do something similar?
I have notes. I have notes in five different places.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the thing I do the least is write it out physically on paper. But I have one of those e-notebooks. I'll write things out on my phone. So I have them. I have a real organization problem because I know there are, I have little notes here, there, and everywhere. And then where did I leave that? Did I text it to myself? Did I put it in the notes app? I don't remember where this thing is.
We have three text threads and three Google Docs.
Yeah, I got that.
Every day where we put all our stuff, which is not, you know, we need to consolidate.
I am not good at organization. I never have been. I never am going to be.
Yeah.
I went through the 7 habits of highly effective people, didn't take.
Yeah.
It just.
I read a couple chapters of that.
Yeah.
You want a tip? The easy way? If I find something somewhere else, I go find it on Twitter and I just bookmark it, and now it's all there for me to reference later in the day.
Okay. Well, then I do that too, yeah. Kevin. I just have them all over
about
the
Twitter.
Place.
7.
That's what I'm saying. Just go put them all in one place.
Well, it's not always from Twitter.
No, I know. I get that. But if something you come across, you can go, oh, hey, search Twitter for this thing. And then, oh, there it is. Bookmark.
Chris, why are you being so difficult?
Come on, buddy. I'm trying to help you out.
I don't know. This is just how I am.
He gave you the answer.
You know what? Chris and I right now.
Problem solved.
We are exactly the St. Louis Blues with every single post-game conference. Like, yeah, I don't know. We didn't try. You know, we need to skate. We got to skate hard. 60.
Got to be there for each other.
Our effort's not there.
Not going to point any fingers, and it's like, Amy's got to go to the front of the net.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, if you know what's wrong, why aren't you doing it? And that's kind of how we are. There's only two options, which is you either physically don't have the ability to do it, or you're just not disciplined enough to do it. And I think
that's
what it is.
That's the one.
That's it.
That feels right.
That's the one for the Blues. Too.
You got it.
That's what I was saying. Like, I did say that about the Blues.
Discipline.
I was like, there's only one of two options. Yeah. If you know what's wrong, you either fix it or you're not disciplined enough to do it.
Am I too old to enlist? Maybe that's what I need. Discipline.
Do they have a fake army for old people so you get all the benefits of it?
Like a camp.
Well, no, they do.
Like Cardinals
you
camp.
You can sign up for like
fantasy military.
Maybe I just need to be scared straight. Maybe that's what it is.
I would love to see that.
You think you're a special soldier? You think you're special?
I'd love to see Ron just like some guy on the other side of the bars just screaming at him.
Organize!
You don't want to be in here!
Yeah, you can't touch me though, dude. I'm losing.
You call this mess show prep. Wow. Wow, how adorable.
Deep down in places we don't talk about at parties, you need that notebook.
Oh, God. Speaking of parties. Did anyone else happen to listen to the Chris and Amy show today? Oh, my Lord. I'm a daily listener, by the way.
Thank you.
So you're the one.
I have heard. All you need is for me to get a meter.
Wait, are you the YouTube guy?
We're set.
Are you the guy watching us on the stream?
One day my face will pop up.
Yeah, his new name is Raygun 2025.
You'll just see a bald guy surrounded by candles. No, Amy's a very passionate person. We've heard her be passionate about Israel. We've heard her be passionate about women's sports. All pales. I mean, it's not in the same universe. If you go to a party at her house, do not leave early.
Like double book and leave early.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to follow up because I'm not a double booker.
Yeah.
I'm not even a booker. Like I can't remember the last party I was invited to. But if I were by anyone out there, I would go. Just trying to say.
Do you guys have candles?
My girlfriend Raygun can come along.
Oh. Will she do the kangaroo?
I can talk for 4 hours and she can break. No, so I would never double book, but if the party's at 7, I'll get there at about 6:10 and be looking to leave by 8:30 or 9 at the latest, which seems like it drives you crazy.
Yeah, well, don't get there early because you're always scrambling as the host, but it's just such a thing to double book, and people go out of their way to clean their homes and buy the food and make the food and set it out and decorate, and you start the party at 7 and you pretty much know the few friends who are going to show up at 7 are there at 7 because they're leaving at 8:30 to go to the party they really want to go to, and they'll get there at 9 and stay until 1 a.m. And I think it is so rude. It's unbelievably. I would rather you not come to the party at all than to come for an hour and a half. Either my party is the one you want to go to or it's not.
Although that's not what you were saying. I was literally laughing out loud in my car because she was like, I would just you rather not show up. I don't even like you. I don't like who you are. I don't like where you come from. I don't like what you stand for.
I hate your family. I hate your dog. No, like my blood was boiling. I had to lean back in the chair to calm myself down.
I was like, damn, wow. Girl.
It was like,
and then Roger, of course, is like, that's what I do.
I know.
It just, it's been,
you did that at my birthday party.
That's right.
He did.
It has been universally accepted for years that you go to the most boring party first.
I just don't go.
Everybody knows that.
It's so rude.
So you have to pick one. Don't you think it's rude to tell the other, I can't go to your party because I've already committed to
another? You can't have everything you want, you spoiled little brat.
Well, you can't have people stay all night either.
Rachel, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been invited to two parties on the same night.
I mean, in the same decade. I'm just grungy over here.
Like, what are the odds that two people you know plan a party on the same day?
It happens all the time, especially
who's
in the holidays.
Who's doing all these parties?
I don't know, but we've had to say no. Like, I had the other, last year, right? In January, it was my sister's birthday party, another friend's birthday party, and a trivia night. You had to pick one. I wasn't going to leave my sister's birthday party. And that was easy, right? Because it's my sister. I knew which one I was going to go to. But I feel like a lot of the fun stuff happens to fall on the same night.
What about the leaving a party to meet up with other friends? Not a party, just like we're going to meet
up
at a bar.
It's the same thing. No. Yeah. No. Don't. Just go meet them.
What about just leaving early, like me leaving early?
Well, it's rude for everyone except for, like, well, that's Glover. That's what he does.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, well, you're quirky enough that you've established
well,
it.
Yeah. That's an interesting question, though. Is it more rude when it's leaving because this is your life and you go home early and you get ready for bed early?
No,
and that's what you do.
That's not more
versus
rude.
Leaving for a different reason because, to go meet up with other people.
Because go home. Like, if that's the thing that you want to do is you'd rather go home, that is less
so
rude.
That's okay.
Yes, because what you're saying
leaving
is
to meet other friends is not.
Kevin, I have two friends having a party and you're having one and you and Susan have bent over backwards to get ready for this party, but yours is not really the one that I want to waste my Friday night on. So I'm gonna get to your party to get it out of the way so I can go to the better party, and that's how I'm gonna spend my Friday
so
night.
Then, isn't that better, though, than me saying, you invite me to a party, like, hey, it's a birthday thing or not, just a party, housewarming,
right, right,
whatever. And I go, well, I've already got plans with friends.
Way better.
But I'll swing by a little bit.
Yeah, why not say,
I'm on Team Ranji here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's nice to at least show face.
I don't know that I've ever, I mean, we've had parties and people over time. I've never had a problem with someone being like, yeah, we got other plans and we're going to be leaving early.
Andrew?
Good. More food for the rest of us.
I also am not sure I've ever been invited to two parties at the same time. Rarely am I double booked.
So I just had a friend. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say I would probably side with Chris on this. I think stopping by the first party for a bit. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily. I guess I would rank it as like the party I would less want to go to is the one that I'm hitting first. But I think it's nice to try to go to both if you're invited to both.
I just had a friend text and said, Ranji left your birthday party early. And I said, I know.
How do they know that?
I know.
Who said that?
I'm not telling. I'm protecting their identity.
Was it maybe the person that drove him?
Look, that's right. It was Michael Kelly. I rode with him.
It was not the person that drove him.
Your parents live 5 hours from the city.
They do. But Wheeler
5 hours.
Wheeler's a witness.
Yeah, but I also left relatively early. I left almost.
Me
right
and Dave
after
that. And Rachel are quiet because we weren't invited to the party at all.
I didn't know all these stories.
Yeah. So we were like, wow, 5 hours from the city, huh? Crazy.
This is kind of why I was asking that question because I left
Rode
right
with Michael
around
Kelly,
the
how
same
about
time. I left around the same
old
time.
Michael Kelly
did.
Made the cut.
And
huh?
Steve and Debbie and Fred Bottomer were all there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a shindig.
Engineer Jay was invited.
Yeah.
Now it's hurting.
Yeah.
And also before he worked here,
a couple of sales reps from Wichita.
Remember the old security guy from 5 years ago? They were invited.
Yeah.
Also, another rule for the party is you're supposed to eat before you go.
No.
Even if there's food at the party.
What?
Unless it's a dinner party. Because they say that you're not supposed to be like a heat-seeking missile looking for all the food.
Oh.
You should be talking to people instead.
Oh.
I like the don't just go walk in and start smoking.
I can't believe somebody thought of that. Mind if I light up?
124 DGS. So I get my show prepped today. You guys know how small I am, right? And you know how I get jealous and resentful of people who are my superiors. And Jason Kelsey has a duet with Stevie Nicks called Maybe This Christmas, which has dethroned Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas on the iTunes 100 holiday chart.
Oh.
What do I not get about the Kelseys? Why do I hate them so much? Well, I just describe why I hate them. We all know why I hate them. It's my smallness and lack of character. But why are they so... I understand being big in football. I even understand being big because you're Taylor Swift's boyfriend. And I even understand being big because you're Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother. But I don't understand Stevie Nicks saying, I think I'm going to record a record with him.
The Kelsey brothers are the Stanley Cup tumblers of people. And so there's nothing wrong with a Stanley Cup. It's a fine insulated tumbler.
I thought you meant the Stanley Cup.
I know, that's why I had to say tumbler. Yeah, because when the Stanley Cups first came out, I thought everyone was talking about hockey. I was like, what do you mean? But no, the Stanley Cup tumblers, there is nothing fundamentally wrong with them. They're great cups. They're fine. They've been around. But it's when everybody became obsessed with them.
What a great analogy.
They are the Stanley Cup tumblers of humanity.
It's the same way that people can get sick of a really good song when nobody stops playing it. Right, like we were talking about the other day, like Don't Stop Believin' is dead to me, not because I hated the song,
just heard
because
it so much.
People just overdid it, and then it became like the funny, ironic, ha-ha, we're going to play this after every win kind of thing in sports, and it's like, okay, now I don't like it anymore, even though it's a good song.
I think their initial appeal is you very rarely get a podcast with an active player who also happens to be the brother of another active player who then just retired. So now they're doing it together.
Yeah.
There aren't a whole lot. There are athlete podcasts out there. There aren't. I can't think of any like that one. And then you add Taylor Swift into the mix. That's why it's happening. And I guess they're okay. I don't hate them. I don't like them.
I'm just very indifferent. The worst part of me is that I hate them. And I've never heard a word of their podcast, which is terrible, because should at least listen to their podcast and go, oh, they're terrible.
I know what it is. It's because you're in an industry which is similar. A podcast is very similar to what we do. We just do it live, right? And they have been doing it for 5 minutes, and they're getting multi-million dollar offers to do it.
Bingo.
That's what it is. And you're like, damn, I've done this for 20 years, and I've been working hard at it. And these guys don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but when I start to think that, then I go back to how many hours did they put in to get to the point where they were famous football players and do this?
Right.
I mean,
think
about all the work that it took just to become an NFL player. Both of those guys could be Hall of Famers. Like, they're both elite. That's all going into why people want to see them too. It's not just that, and that, because I have that same reaction a lot. Like, oh, this idiot's got a podcast, for God's sake. And then I'm like, all right, well, they did actually put in a lifetime of work that makes people interested in them, which is why they're doing this. It's kind of the Rogan thing, right? Rogan's not a radio guy. Rogan's a stand-up comic and MMA guy, but because he reached a certain level, there was interest, and it was all that other work that led to this blowing up.
And with Rogan, I don't resent him as much because he kind of helped to invent the genre.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to
just grow it like this.
Coming along and just, I don't know.
Yeah.
All good points. Did you see that Michael Strahan has officially apologized?
Why?
He said that, did you know this story? Michael Strahan didn't put his hand on his heart for the national anthem, and people really went off on him. And he said that, and Wheels did a big thing on the show where he said, I don't think he needs to apologize to anyone. I don't put my hand on my heart. I stand respectfully like Michael Strahan did. But I guess Strahan was taking so much crap, and people were coming to his home.
Weird.
And he's just getting people off his back.
And he said, I meant to do it, but I didn't. And then when I realized I hadn't done it, I felt sheepish doing it halfway through the song. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. No reason to apologize for it. A lot of people don't put their hands over their hearts. And I guarantee you that a not insignificant number of people who were criticizing him don't put their hands on their hearts.
Yeah, they don't even stop buying their hot dog at the concession stand while the anthem's going on.
That's
but they're
right.
going to yell at him.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance,
the 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy, or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 134. So I don't know how much Chris and Amy talked about this in the last couple of days, but we haven't talked about it at all. And let's talk about it a little bit. These appointments by Donald Trump and Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense, and then Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. The other ones I was like pleasantly surprised with, you know, I mean, not just even Rubio. There were a bunch of them like, OK, well, that the guy who's going to be running the border czar was the head of ICE. Makes sense. Seems like a I may not agree with him on everything politically, but to the winner go the spoils. For me, I have likes and dislikes for the three people I just named, but I put those aside because they're my own biases, you know, the whole Fox News thing. But like with Tulsi Gabbard, my best analogy, Tulsi Gabbard was a medical clerk in the military. She never worked with the House Intelligence when she was a representative. I've been doing radio fairly successfully for almost a quarter century. I couldn't be the market manager of my company, much less run the FCC. And to me, that's a pretty good analogy that she, I'm sure, is a smart person. She's accomplished. But to think that she can run the entire intelligence community just seems like we're just playing house here.
Yeah. And I think the biggest concern is, I mean, for the past 2.5 years, even longer, Republican congressmen and women like Senator Mitt Romney have publicly called her out for parroting Russian propaganda. I mean, she has known.
And this was way before the appointment.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, going back years. 2.5 years. Yeah, I mean, I've got tweets from 2022 and statements from 2022 and before. In Russia, she is known as being a useful mouthpiece for Kremlin propaganda. That's a concern. Also in 2017, she went to Syria when the civil war was raging there and met with Bashar al-Assad. By the way, whose regime is being supported by, funded by Iran and Russia, met with him, which is a huge issue. And so I have serious concerns with Tulsi Gabbard being the director of national intelligence. I mean, there may be, you know, do you look at it? At it criminally? Do you look at it ethically? Do you look at it as a huge security risk? All of the above? Because of her actions and her words. But Mitt Romney said people were going to lose lives because of this straight up pro-Russia, pro-Kremlin nonsense that Tulsi Gabbard has been spreading.
So we were talking about that appointment and Gaetz and, you know, the department, the Hegseth, all of those. And we discussed it a little bit with Major Garrett today. And we are all institutionalists. You know, you and I are. I know. I think Amy agrees with that same idea, too. And it seems to be there's this sentiment in the country of people who are just so mad about everything and mad about the way things are that they just screw it. Tear all of these departments down. Get rid of the Department of Education, the FBI, the DOJ. Let's lose all of it because I'm unhappy with how things are for me. But I think we'll figure it out. If something really happens with the departments and they don't function properly or they are gone altogether, we're going to find out the hard way why we had them in the first place. But I think that people who are looking at these appointments and saying, yeah, good, let them go in and tear it down or start over or whatever, I think we're all kind of in for a rude awakening on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an audible gasp among Republicans.
Republicans
yes, when Matt Gaetz was named.
Yes.
Obviously, Kevin McCarthy went after Matt Gaetz. We all know that he had an investigation because he paid for sex with a 17-year-old, and there was an investigation into him. He asked Kevin McCarthy, who was then Speaker of the House, to stop the investigation. Kevin McCarthy refused, and that's when Matt Gaetz said, all right, I'm going to start a campaign, and it ended up being a successful campaign to oust McCarthy from the speakership. And again, you're hearing from Republicans. I do think, and this is something that I know it's not a unique thought to me. A lot of people are saying, is this a loyalty test for Senate Republicans? Because Donald Trump can now see who is going to be absolutely pliant to my every whim and fancy, and he's going to know who are the Republicans he can count on. And my hope is that the Senate Republicans have the backbone to say no to this nomination of Matt Gaetz.
See, that's a chess move. I'm not so convinced that he's playing chess. I think he just, that's the guy I want. I like this guy. He's got the right look. And he was nice to me. He's behind me. I know he's going to be loyal, so I'm going to nominate him.
It could be, yeah. That's, I mean, you're right.
I think
that's
probably the
both.
Simpler answer.
Yeah, I probably so, because absolute obsequious compliance with Trump's every move is the highest and most commendable quality you can have in the Trump administration.
I would be so much more disturbed at the Senate if they confirm Matt Gaetz, then I would be Matt Gaetz being the Attorney General, if that makes sense. I would. It's like Star Wars in whatever trilogy it is, when the Senate and the Imperial this and that, and there's all the shenanigans going on. Like, if the Senate is so weak and so completely...
well, they're just ceding their power.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's a great point. Donald Trump is a powerful person. You're a United States senator. Act like one.
And there was a report earlier this morning before our show started from Robert Costa at CBS, who said from some of the GOP senators he was talking to, it seemed like they were not so high on Gaetz, but they also don't want to put up a fight either. So we'll see what ends up happening, and maybe this is only a handful of senators.
And these, I don't understand the ins and outs. We'll have to have Brad Young on, but of the recess appointments, and being a lawyer, and basically being a lawyer is learning about loopholes, learning about exceptions, and learning about ways to take language apart and use it to your advantage. This is the kind of thing that shouldn't be for anyone, because, like Chris said, why do we have institutions? Well, we may be about to find out why. Why do we have confirmation with the Senate? Well, that one's pretty easy, because these are really, really critically important jobs, and you want the most deliberative party to take a good look at it and then vote. You don't want some sort of a situation where you can just have a recess appointment.
This is, if you don't mind an indulgence, this is what Alexander Hamilton said about the importance of the Senate confirmations and their power to approve or reject top nominees. He said that the Senate's power to approve or reject a president's top nominees, quote, would tend greatly to prevent the appointment of unfit characters, including those, quote, who had no other merit than that of possessing the necessary insignificance and pliancy to render them the obsequious instruments of the president's pleasure. That was why Alexander Hamilton said we should have Senate confirmations.
Can I tell you what's funny about that? Halfway through you reading that quote, I still thought you meant Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, the telephone guy. The telephone
that
guy.
Was,
I knew that one.
That was the second call.
I really was. I was like, wow, yeah. Amy's really in on this guy.
The first call, he just said, hello, can you hear me? And the second call, he had a lot more to say.
Doesn't the whole process say a lot, though, about what politics has become in our time? In that it used to be that you took pride in your branch. I am a U.S. senator.
That's right.
The legislative branch is equal to the executive branch and is equal to the judicial.
Of it.
That's my point. And they have and I'm not picking on a party here. I'm just saying that in modern times, that has gone away from saying no. We may not individually be equal to the president, but collectively we are.
Yeah.
And we need to keep that power and protect it. But it's become a point where basically you're selling out to your party instead of protecting where you are. I mean, like, your own importance.
And the reason, at least I'm an institutionalist, is because individuals come and go. Groups come and go. Powerful, strong men come and go. But institutions stay.
Right.
And if this really happens the way we're afraid it's going to happen, Trump's going to go. In 4 years, he'll go. In 8 years, he'll probably be gone from the earth. And the institutions will be so weakened by it. And I don't blame Trump. Trump is playing his hand the way he wants to, whether it's like Amy said, he's doing some sort of chess move, which that's his level of chess. Let's see if these monkeys will go for it. Let's see if they will. Okay, let's send them Matt Gaetz, whether it's that or he's just what Chris said. He just likes the cut of this guy's jib and he's going to be mean to people who he doesn't like. I don't blame Trump. He's just playing his hand. That's why you have the other houses of government.
It's crazy to me, too. But in the other part that's frustrating is the people that will support this are the first people that try to pound their chest over the Constitution. The Constitution explicitly created three separate equal branches of government, and that should matter. If you're a constitutionalist, if you are someone that believes in the Constitution, then you should believe in that and uphold that. That's probably more critical than almost anything else in there, aside from, you know, the amendments that protect your rights. I mean, as a government, the whole structure falls apart if one branch collapses.
And that's the idealistic way to look at it. That I'm looking at it. I think Dave is looking at it too. And that's how I feel we should all look at it. But unfortunately, there are millions of people in the country that just want to stick it to the other guy, that the person they see as their opponent. And so that, to them, is anybody who voted against Donald Trump. Or I guess, suppose it can go the other way, too.
Yeah.
But they just want the other side to lose. And it's almost like, yeah, you know, you get into a fight in your house and you destroy the living room, but you beat the guy. Yeah, great. You beat the guy, but your living room's all jacked up, and you know what I mean. Like you're
a Pyrrhic victory.
Yes, like you're doing it at a pretty big cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you're sticking it to the other person. Maybe you're getting one over on them. Maybe your side has won, but at a pretty big cost.
And my intuition would be that if the senators do go along with this, it's not to screw anybody; it's to save their own skin.
It is.
Which is worse.
Yeah, because, you know, people would vote them out, and that's what they'd be worried about. I guess we need fewer servants, because that's what they are. They are civil servants, the senators and the House of Representatives. They're there for us. It would maybe be nice if fewer of them were worried about repercussions of getting voted out because they went against the president.
I know there are a lot of arguments against what I'm going to say, but this is one of the reasons why I want term limits. Because if you're worried about staying as your primary goal, well, then you're not going to stand on principle. If you know you're out in 2 years anyway, well, you can stand on principle a little more.
Closing time. 152 DGS. You know how you have benchmarks in your life, like the most fun I've ever had, most in love I've ever had. I had two of them this past few days.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty big. I showed you guys the picture of Phoebe up on the Jumbotron at Arrowhead, and I've had lots of happy moments, but being Dad's weekend and being at the stadium, and it was fun, and we were having fun together, and there's no, like, awkward pauses, and then my daughter's in the smile cam, and she's so happy. Like, that was, like, if you see that picture of me, that's about as happy as I've been. Isn't that cool? Like, that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And then last night, I had the worst leg cramp I've ever had in my entire life. It hurts right now. My left calf just was in a perfect softball.
Ugh.
And it lasted for, when I say 60 seconds, it doesn't sound like a long time.
It's so
that's a long time.
But 60 seconds when it's just not relenting and you're starting to think, how am I going to live my life this way?
You know, the worst I ever had to pee was when I was in college, and we were on a trip.
No, I get that.
No, listen, I was 21, and we were on the way back from Peoria to Bloomington.
Peoria.
I know, right? We were on the way back, after a Peoria Chiefs baseball game for Thirsty Thursdays, and I had to go. We had to pull over the side of the road. That's how bad. And I still remember it.
That's
I was
great.
21.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes. The coldest I've ever been was at Soldier Field.
Oh,
watching the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing a leather jacket like an idiot.
No.
Anyone else have any
superlatives? I've definitely got the coldest I can ever remember was playing tackle football with cousins in negative 27 degree weather in
Kirk
Minnesota.
Cousins?
Not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
In Minnesota.
That was impressive. Wow.
Yeah, we were like, this is a great idea. It's New Year's Day. Let's go play some tackle football on the frozen tundra. It's so cold.
Oh, I went to a Notre Dame game, and I thought I was prepared. I had the hand warmers and everything. It didn't work. We left at halftime.
Oh, this is a good one because the Notre Dame-Michigan game, the Rocket Ismail game, I was at that in 1988.
Wow.
I was in high school. It was maybe 33 degrees, but it was pouring rain.
There you go.
And it was the worst, just cold to your bones.
It was as cold as it can get without it turning to snow.
That's exactly right.
I was actually going to say that I ran a half marathon in Washington, D.C., and it was 30.
That sounds miserable, just that.
Yeah, 35, 36 degrees. And when I say it was pouring rain the entire time, it was pouring rain, and like people after the race, they didn't really have any place to like change or anything, so everyone was standing under an underpass, and I got my bag, and I had a clean sweatshirt, but I was so cold and so wet that I couldn't even like grab my shirt to take my shirt off, so I start walking, and because everyone finished the race, you finish in Arlington or something, and then you have to take the metro back. The metro, they only allow so many people in the tunnel. It was an hour-long wait outside before you even got in the tunnels. And I remember thinking, this is how I die. I'm going to have pneumonia when I come back.
And George Washington.
I was shaking so bad my muscles hurt. Like, I was sore from just shaking. Oh, that was the worst. I was so cold. It was so cold.
Got any rage?
I think the coldest I've ever been was that Bikes for Tykes broadcast
we did that broadcast.
That was cold. That was horribly cold.
I'll tell you two things I did
really
not care about.
Brought us
Bikes or Tykes.
Let's
get the hell out of here.
In that moment,
I'll buy every kid within the sound of my voice a bike if I can leave.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.